Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Going behind the headlines of some of our biggest stories this evening.
People that signed him off and released him back into his GP, because the people that knew that he could go out and kill, the doctors that have come out and said they knew that he would go out and kill.
Families tell us they're devastated to learn multiple chances were missed to stop the man behind the Nottingham attacks. And another day, another Banksy, as he continues to spread the joy.
We're really honoured that he has chosen to have us as that full stop piece as part of that nine-stage journey across the city.
I'm Kat Wright. It's Tuesday, the 13th of August, and we start with the case of Valdo Kallocane. The Health Secretary says the Prime Minister's considering how to make a public inquiry into last summer's Nottingham stabbings judge-led. Wes Streeting thinks Kallocane's victims may still be alive if the NHS had been there when it should have been. It comes after a review today uncovered a series of mental health service failures. Our chief reporter, Maddie Bull, has more.
For the families, today's report sets out the failings in care that led to the deaths of their loved ones in June last year. It found the morning Kallocane stabbed Barnaby Webber, Grace O'Malley, Kumar and Ian Coates to death. He was acutely unwell with paranoid schizophrenia, but mental health assessments missed key details and minimised the risk he posed to himself and others. Ian's son James tells us it's vital the people in charge of his care are held to account.
There's got to be responsibility. Like, people have been killed. Like, my father was killed, Grace and Barney were killed, three others were seriously injured, and more could have been injured or killed because of the failures of these professionals.
Nottinghamshire Healthcare NHS Foundation Trust insists it's significantly improved since the review was carried out, but the families say the organisation has blood on its hands.
Thanks, Maddie. Next tonight, police searching for a 16-year-old boy who's believed to have got into difficulty while swimming in a lake near Cambridge say they've found a body. Specialists had been combing Burnside Lakes in Cherry Hinton since yesterday afternoon. Our reporter Dan Mason is at the scene.
Emergency services and specialist teams have been searching Burnside Lakes in Cherry Hinton for a boy after reports he got into difficulty while swimming with friends last night. We've now been told by police search teams recovered a body from the lakes at around 1 p.m. today. Formal identification has not yet taken place, but police believe it is the boy and his family have been informed.
Still to come, one of Northern Ireland's top cops say they're at breaking point.
There needs to be a serious ask of what it is policing's being asked to deliver, because it's not sustainable.
And there are urgent calls for more funding for mental health services in Scotland.
If you walk into a room with somebody else who's been through the same as you, if they're surviving or living, you've got hope.
But first, businesses in Southport are reporting a noticeable decline in trade in the wake of the horrendous scenes that unfolded there recently. A fortnight ago, three little girls were killed in a knife attack, and protests and riots followed across Merseyside and the rest of the UK. Locals say the town's been unusually quiet during what's normally its busiest time of the year for tourism. Our regional correspondent, Victoria Glover, has been to Southport Pleasureland.
On an August day, usually this place would be heaving. But I'm watching as carriages for the log flume and other rides go round without passengers.
It's normally packed in here, it's normally buzzing every year, it's empty.
It's a lot quieter, which is such a shame.
Norman Wallace is the chief exec of Southport Pleasureland and told me the public support is desperately needed for businesses like this to survive.
It's very disheartening when you know it's the middle of August and very few visitors to the town, but hopefully that will change as people realise that, you know, it is a very safe place, it's a great place to visit, and it's beautiful.
Well, here on the 1st of September, there'll be a major fundraiser as a thank you to the local hospitals and the air ambulance in the wake of the attack, with the aim of raising £1 million.
Well, as we are talking about the recent disorder, a senior detective in Northern Ireland says the violence has highlighted how strained the service is. Riots broke out in Belfast and Londonderry following the Southport stabbings, and now the PSNI says it desperately needs more funding. Our chief reporter James Gould's been speaking to Detective Chief Superintendent Anthony McNally.
Over the past week, we've had numerous nights of disorder, protests and a string of hate crimes. The cuts on the PSNI have been well documented in recent years, but now they're being highlighted. DCS McNally, who's president of the Superintendents Association of Northern Ireland, tells me the force needs more funding right away.
We have stepped up and we will continue to step up, but there is a longer term requirement here to look both at the funding for policing and or what the ask of policing is, because if further funding's not available, we cannot sustain the level of service delivery we're pleasantly being asked to do.
He does want to stress too that if you phone 101 or 999, the PSNI will be there to deliver.
To Scotland next, where a rise in the number of people taking their own lives has been described as distressing by ministers. Last year, there were almost 800 cases. Stats show the rates are higher in small towns. Our political editor, Alan Smith, has been meeting people impacted by suicide.
Nobody should be allowed to leave anywhere without substantial support if they've made attempts on their life.
That's Donna, who runs Neil's Hugs Foundation, a peer support service helping people affected by suicide. It was launched following the death of her son Neil in 2011.
There's nothing in the world that could make you not being here an acceptable thing, because it leaves behind the devastation. And there are people out there, and please reach out to whatever organisation you feel.
And unfortunately, Neil's story is all too common in Scotland. 792 people took their own lives here last year. That's up by 4%, and it's the second year in a row where those figures have increased.
It's just devastating. So today, more than every day, those people are front and foremost in my mind.
Mental wellbeing Minister Marie Todd has been meeting with peer support workers, and she's pledging to continue pushing for more funding for those vital mental health services.
We're going behind the headlines on some of our top stories this evening. Next, the government's putting £800 million into improving broadband for homes and businesses in remote areas across the UK. With more on this, here's our political editor, Georgie Prodromou.
Well, if you live in a rural area and have trouble with your connection, the government wants to make this a thing of the past. They say more than 300,000 homes and businesses are going to get access to faster broadband.
Sometimes they're just on the outskirts of towns and cities, but for them, it feels like they're shut out. We want to make sure that every single person, wherever you live, can fully exploit all of the opportunities that gigabit internet provides.
That's Science and Technology Secretary Peter Kyle. The government say they'll be working with communities on how to bring this infrastructure in.
Well, that's good news for some, but for people in Cumbria, they've been left disappointed as the county won't be getting its share of the funding. Joe Gartley's been to Allerdale, one of the worst areas for internet speed in the country, to find out more.
Broadband connectivity is continuing to be an issue for many parts of our county.
Sometimes Cumbria gets forgotten.
Alana Huntington, co-owner of Out of the Blue gift shop here in Wigton, she tells me that she's constantly having problems with both her internet connection and often mobile signals too.
The internet kept going off, and when it was really hot weather, the internet stopped working. It wasn't just myself, there were several businesses on the street had this problem. Change provider to see if that would help, and the internet dips in and out.
Alana says she's disappointed to hear that Cumbria won't be part of a new government project to overhaul rural infrastructure, and she isn't the only one.
Many villages in Cumbria seem to have not very good connectivity at all. In the gallery, we have a card machine. We sometimes have problems with that dropping out and we can't use the card.
That's Hilary Harrison from Fountain Gallery in Wigton. She says they are suffering in rural areas and are constantly being let down by promises to improve it. So as the government announces funding of up to £800 million will go to 300,000 rural homes and businesses. Talks are now underway for a second part of the project, but Cumbria and South West Scotland are expected to miss out.
Thanks, Joe. And finally, staff at London Zoo say they got the shock of their lives this morning when they discovered Banksy had done his latest artwork there. A ninth animal-themed piece by the anonymous artist appeared on their shutters overnight. Our reporter Claire Bode went down to the zoo to check it out.
A large crowd has gathered taking photos of the newest work by Bristol-based artist Banksy. In what is his ninth work in 9 days in the capital, a large gorilla is seen letting out animals from the zoo zoo, including birds and a sea lion. Now, whilst the animal theme of all these works now appears to have been in collaboration with the zoo, one worker told me they had no idea it was coming.
Absolutely entirely a surprise. And like I said, we're really honoured that he has chosen to have us as that full stop piece as part of that nine-stage journey across the city.
So has this London Zoo instalment left more questions than answers? The meaning of all nine of these animal pieces is still unclear, with only Banksy having the answers.
And for more on these and other stories, head to the news pages of our website or check out our social media channels.